Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Very nice. You keep coming with those amens and those preach-its, and that's right, I like the encouragement. It's great. I also like participation, so if I'm going to be asking any questions, feel free to shout them out. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Chet Brouette. I'm a deacon here at Living Hope Church, but my claim to fame, my true passion, is I am the coordinator of the Kidstown Ministry here at Living Hope Church. Yeah, that's right. I, along with many other leader volunteers, have the absolute joy of preaching and teaching to the first through fifth graders here at Living Hope Church. It is a privilege, and it is an honor, and it is a joy, and one I do not take lightly. I just wish I was back there right now. Pastor Mike, you got me up here again. No more excuses, no more places to hide. Church, your senior pastor loves you all very much. He really does. He challenges us to get into the Word. He challenges us to get out of our comfort zone. And he challenges us to have the right relationship with God the Father. And he does this because he loves you all very much. We're lucky to have him as our senior pastor, our shepherd. We're lucky to be as part of his flock. So thank you, Pastor Mike, for all you do. Never stop praying for the leadership here in this church. They definitely need the prayers of us saints. They really do. So, all right, since we're going to be to discuss the last few verses in the chapter of Matthew this morning, I figured it'd be a good idea if we just opened up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, and I'd read all 28 chapters of the book of Matthew to you this morning. How's that sound? All right, I'm going to do it the hard way then. But I do think it's a good idea to recap the events that are going to lead up to where we're going to start reading. Christ Jesus, he started his ministry here on earth. He was baptized, and then he was tested in the wilderness. He went to the synagogue and read from Isaiah and stated, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He then began to call people to be his disciples. He then began to teach them, to train them. Jesus had called on them to go out into the world and bring others into the kingdom of God. The disciples, they needed to learn what it meant to be a part of the kingdom of God. So they were called, trained, and taught what it meant to be a part of the kingdom of God. And the meaning of being called, trained, and taught is discipleship. Over 3 years, the disciples were being trained and taught, with, of course, the culmination of Christ's ministry being the death on the cross and being raised from the dead after 3 days. Christ, he took our sins into the grave with him. He was raised from the dead. Christ conquered death. Christ gave us a way to have a personal relationship with the Father. Amen. Now, after he was raised from the dead, he stayed around for another 40 days. After spending an eternity with the Father, he left and came here on earth. After having an eternity of the Father look on him, the Father turned away when Jesus was on that cross. After all that, after coming and doing the Father's will, he could go and get reunited with the Father. But he waited for 40 more days. Oh, I bet how much he wanted to be reunited with the Father. You know, I go fishing for a week, and I can't wait to get home to my wife and kids. But he stayed for another 40 days. I think Jesus, he wanted to put the finishing touches on the calling, the training, and the teaching of his disciples to make sure they knew all about the kingdom of God. In Matthew 28, verses 16 and 20, it says, "Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, 'I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Jesus is telling his disciples, remember, I have called you. Remember the training you had. Remember the teachings I gave. Remember the kingdom of God. You're going to go out into all the nations, and you're going to make disciples. Be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Even to the end of the age. What does that mean, to the end of the age? The end of the age means the culmination of human history, till the end of human history. So why does Jesus tell the 11 that he'll be with them till the end of human history? Are they going to be alive for that long? Are they going to be alive until the end of human history? Great. No, of course not. So you see, the answer is not just for the 11, but for those of us who believe through the disciples' testimonies. When Jesus commissions the 11, he is not only commissioning them, but all who profess to be believers in Jesus. Jesus said, make disciples of every nation. The Greek word for nation here is ethne. It means ethnic. Ethnic groups of people. Every group of every people everywhere. The task of disciples is to reach every group of every people everywhere. So again, Jesus is not just talking to the 11. He's speaking to all disciples of Jesus in general. And again, for those of us who profess to be believers in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Do you think the disciples believed that? Do you think that they believed that Jesus had been given all authority in heaven and on earth? I do. Those 3 years the disciples were at Jesus, watching him heal people, watching him walk on water, watching him control the weather, cast out demons, feeding the masses, having him be there right in front of them at that moment, knowing that he conquered death. It's recorded that after he ascended, he went to the Father's right hand. The Father's right hand is a place of authority. So I truly do believe that they believed that he had been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Therefore, I love the word therefore. Whenever we see the word therefore in the Bible, does anyone know what we ask? What is it there for? Thank you, yes. What is it there for? See, it's what's gone, and now what is coming. Jesus said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, because he is saying because of what I am, because of who I am, because of what I've done. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. All the commands I have given you. Is he talking about the commands here in these verses? Well, let me ask you this. Are there 4 commands here? Go, make disciples, baptize, and teach them to obey. Now, some scholars say, yes, 4 commands. But some scholars say there's only 1 command here. See, scholars have talked about this, and some have come to the conclusion that there's only 1 imperative here, okay? Only 1 command, and that is to make disciples. That is the core of the commission, to make disciples. But wait a minute, doesn't the writer command us that we need to go? No, he doesn't need to. He doesn't need to because we are already going. See, the writer already assumes that. How do I know that? Because we are already sent. Jesus already said, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Quick question. Why did the Father send Jesus? Why did the Father send Jesus? Well, ask yourself this. How can we truly get to know an invisible, unknowable God? It's pretty tough, right? Well, one way we can get to know an invisible, unknowable God is if that God assumes humanity, if he becomes human. The invisible, unknowable God just became visible. He just became knowable, which means he just became relational. And God loves being in relationships. He wants to be in a very personal relationship with you and me. And just as the Father sent Jesus, so Jesus is sending us. Now, back in the day, a representative of a king would go out and speak for that king. They would speak for that king and be a representative of that king. And just like that, just like them, we are sent by Jesus. So yeah, we now represent and speak for Jesus. I'll say that one more time. We now represent and speak for Jesus. That's quite a responsibility, isn't it? But it's more than just that. It's more than just representing and speaking. We need to have credibility. Now, the kids and the leaders in Kidstown have heard me speak to them many times, many times. They know that I am there for them, that I love them, that I care deeply about all of them, about their well-being as a person and their well-being with their relationship in Christ. I've made myself credible to them. And just like me doing that with them, we need to do that with those people who come into our lives. But unfortunately, it is not always that easy, is it? Many people don't like to hear the fact that God is God and we are not. Many people don't like it when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Christianity is so unpopular because it's uncompromising. But if we have credibility, maybe they'll be willing to open up their hearts and their minds and their ears to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course, it won't always happen that way. Remember in verse 17, but some of them doubted. Some will doubt. But even still, credibility is important. So us, already going, we're already sent. We are to make disciples of all nations. That's the command of every group, of every people, everywhere. And when this happens, it will be normal that we baptize in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It will be normal that we teach them to obey. It will all fall into place. Why? Because this is who we are. We are disciples of Jesus. This is who we are, and this will be normal. And we can do this because Christ will always be with us. Another question. How is it possible that Christ will always be with us? Didn't he ascend into heaven? Yeah, he did. But he will send the Holy Spirit to help us make disciples. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So here's another word that I love. Remember the word therefore? What do we say when we hear the word therefore? What is it there for? That's right. Great word. I'm glad you guys are all paying attention. Makes me feel good. So the other word that I really love is the word but, okay? Whenever you see the word but in the Bible, you have to understand that we are comparing and contrasting, okay? For an example, something was lost, but now it's found. Someone was dead, but now is alive. There was no way, but God made a way. So why would Jesus be using that word here? Why did he use the word but at the start of Acts chapter 1, verse 8? Well, he is using that word because of what the disciples asked him in Acts 1, verse 6. Those disciples asked him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom?" I wonder if Jesus might have rolled his eyes after this statement or after this question. I wonder if he got frustrated. Why would I think that? Well, we have to remember that Jesus has been training and teaching the disciples. Besides the 3 years of being with them, he has been with them for the last 40 days. And during the last 3 years and 40 days, Jesus has been teaching them about what? The kingdom of God, right? Kingdom of God, kingdom of God. About going out and making disciples. And then they ask him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom?" I wonder if Jesus was second-guessing his leaving. Like, maybe he was like, "God, maybe I need to spend a little bit more time with them." Of course, God would say, "Son, no, it is time for you to come home." Of course they are not ready, but they won't truly be ready until you come home and I send my Spirit to them. Because once they get the Holy Spirit, then they will be ready. Church, once we get the Holy Spirit, then we will be ready. The question that the disciples asked is still being asked today, and I believe it's a problem. And I'll talk more about that in a bit. But what we do need to know is that the statement that Jesus made in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it still applies today. These verses, this statement, it's an invitation for us, okay? It is an invitation for us to join in his work here on earth. This work that God is calling us to do, it is a privilege, and it is an honor, and it is a joy. Acts chapter 1, verses 8 are the very last words that were recorded of Jesus before he ascended. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." A witness is someone who shares their personal experience of something. Like when you witness a crime, you share what you saw, what you experienced with law enforcement. We are Christ's witnesses. Christ said, you will be my witness. You will tell people about me. You will tell people of the experiences that we have had together. You will share with the people in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will share, you will be my witnesses to your family, and in your neighborhood, and in your community, and into the world, and into the ends of the earth. You will talk of the cross and the resurrection and how I, Jesus Christ, has transformed your life. This will be who you are. This will be normal. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it's a prophecy, a prediction. This is Jesus making a prediction of what's going to happen next. And not just with the 11 disciples, but with the church as a whole, stretching throughout the centuries and with us. This is a prophecy because of what Jesus said and how he said it. Jesus said, but you will receive. You will receive power and you will be my witnesses. This isn't a command. He doesn't say you must receive the Holy Spirit. You must be my witnesses. I command you to. No, he says you will receive the Holy Spirit. You will be my witnesses. A prophecy, a prediction. This is a statement of fact. Now, some scholars, they like to keep the verse in Acts here together with the one we just talked about in Matthew. Well, first we need to know that this is two separate times, okay? Two separate locations. The verses in Matthew is most likely on a hilltop in Galilee. The conversation here in Acts is on the Mount of Olives. Yet some scholars, they like to loop Acts in with Matthew and saying that this is the Great Commission. Some scholars, though, say that the Great Commission is in Matthew, and then these verses in Acts, well, they call this the Great Prediction. The Great Prediction. I like that one. So we have the Great Commission in Matthew, where Christ tells us to make disciples. That's the command. So how do we do that? We will receive power from the Holy Spirit. We will be his witnesses, a prophecy, a prediction. The Great Commission and the Great Prediction, working side by side, working together. You can't have one without the other. We can't go out and make disciples without the Holy Spirit. We will, a prediction, we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Therefore, go and make disciples, a command of every nation. You will, a prediction, you will be my witnesses. God's will, Christ's command and prediction, us working with the Holy Spirit to accomplish all of it for our good and God's glory. And we know this prophecy comes true. Read in Acts chapter 1 verses chapter 7. You see the church being witnesses in Jerusalem. And then you read in chapter 8, you see the church witnessing to Judea and Samaria. And then you read in Acts chapter 9 to the end, you see the witnesses going to the ends of the earth. So the infant church knew exactly what Jesus was saying. He said, this will be normal for you. And they said, okay. It was normal for them once the Holy Spirit empowered them to become Christ's witnesses. Witness to the ends of the earth. What did Jesus mean when he said to the ends of the earth? In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, it says, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. The end of the earth is people. Until we run out of people, you will be my witnesses until we run out of people. How do you like that? Christopher J.H. Wright wrote, it is not so much the case that God has a mission for his church in the world as that God has a church for his mission in the world. Mission was made for the church. The church was made for mission. God's mission. It's a crazy shift in our lives when we realize that this is not about us, but about God's mission. So this should be normal for us, right? This is who we are. The Holy Spirit comes on believers with power, and then those believers who are shy, weak, and afraid people become witnesses. Normal, right? This is who we are. Well, for some, sure. But why doesn't it happen that much in a lot of our own lives? Some people have that wonderful gift of evangelism for going out and making disciples. You know, when I was young, I watched my grandfather in a restaurant strike up a conversation with a server and start to include Christ like it was no big deal, like it was pretty much just a normal conversation. Everywhere my grandfather went, he would strike up a conversation about Christ with whomever he was talking to. Now, for those of you that remember, for those of you that went anywhere with Pastor Jim, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I've heard stories from Pastor Mike talking about the unique ways he shares the gospel with others. Some of you here at Living Hope Church, you have that gift of evangelism, and it's awesome. But maybe for the majority of us, for the majority of the church, it just doesn't seem to happen that way. Why not? Shouldn't this be normal? Shouldn't this be who we are? Why might we and the church seem to be having difficulty with that? Well, personally, I think one of the reasons is because of the question that was asked in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Remember what the disciples asked. Remember, 3 years and 40 days, Christ was teaching and training all about what? The kingdom of God. About going out and making disciples of all the nations, kingdom of God, kingdom of God. And especially for the last 40 days, he was talking about this, about what this was all going to look like and what their roles in all of this would be. And then they ask him this question, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom? I believe this statement was just like the disciples sitting around and wondering, hey, do you think we should storm the Capitol? Come on, I can carry my Jesus Save sign, and you can carry the Down with Caesar sign. What do you think? Should we storm the Capitol? What do you think, Jesus? Has the time come for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom? I believe this is something that speaks into what is happening in our country today. Remember, Jesus, for the last 40 days, has been speaking about what? Kingdom of God. For 40 days, kingdom of God. And what did the disciples just ask him? The kingdom of Israel. Now hear me. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of Israel, those are not the same thing. The word restore, it means they were looking for a political restoration. The word Israel means it was set for the nation of Israel. They are talking about nationalism. There is a danger in nationalism. They are saying, Jesus, are you going to bring about this political nation of Israel now? Those disciples are still holding on for a political victory to happen. They wanted Jesus on the throne, and they wanted to be his cabinet members. They wanted power. So you need to ask yourself, does any of this sound familiar? The disciples were trying to make the kingdom of Israel great again. The kingdom of Israel is different than the kingdom of God. Now hear me, church. The kingdom of the United States of America is different than the kingdom of God. It is 100% totally different. The kingdoms of this world you can find on maps. You cannot find the kingdom of God on any map. The kingdom of God is all about the rule of Jesus Christ in people's lives here on earth. It is a spiritual reality. We need to remember that we are aliens in a foreign land. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. In my opinion, it doesn't matter who's in political power. It's just another Caesar or another Nebuchadnezzar. It's just another government of Babylon or government of Rome. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Ours is not the kingdom of the world. Ours is what? The kingdom of God. We need to understand that God ultimately has this. Are we smarter than God? Remember, God is God and we are not. Do we truly trust and believe that God is in control? Then we need to stop focusing on nationalism and start focusing on witnessing, on being disciples to all the nations. That's right. To every group of people, the great commission that Christ has asked us to be a part of, it is a joy and it is honor and it is a privilege that he is asking us to be a part of his great commission. It is about being a witness. Remember earlier when I talked about how we should be a witness and have credibility? It's about us believers being engaged in the world. Now, it is, in my opinion, I believe, it is important to be engaged in the world of politics and social issues. That's just my opinion. With the justices for the lives of the unborn and the lives of the living. With helping the poor, the downtrodden, and with making sure that we are trying to make liberty and justice for all people of all ethnicities. But this is not what the disciples in Acts 1:6 are talking about. It's more about having that nationalistic mindset. It's about saying our country is more important than you. Now, if any nation had the legs to stand on more than anyone else, it'd be Israel. God told them, I will bless you. But we have to remember the full verse. I will bless you so that you might be a blessing to all the nations. I'm blessing you for a reason, because I love all the nations. I love every ethnic group. I love people. I love all people. And I want them all to be in my family. So I am sending you all out to be my witnesses, to make disciples of all the nations. Nationalism is the exact opposite of the Great Commission. Nationalism says we are better than you. Our nation is better than you. The Great Commission says that we will bless all nations, every ethnic group. Listen, God doesn't expect our politicians to be witnesses. He doesn't expect our votes to do the witnessing for us. He isn't saying that this is my party or that's my party. God ultimately has this. And we need to live like we truly do trust and believe that God is in control. He expects us to be the witnesses and to disciple all nations. So the fact that, in my humble opinion again, that our government doesn't really do that great of a job, regardless of who's in charge, that really should not be our main concern. Our main concern should be, how are we doing as the body of Christ? Is the Holy Spirit coming upon us, and are we being his witnesses? Are we being disciples to all the nations? How are we, as a church at large, doing with that calling? How are we, on a personal note, doing with that calling? Pastor James, come up. Thank you. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That was Jesus' last words. I think they should hold some weight, right? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses to your family, in your neighborhood, in your community, and into the world, and to the ends of the earth, until we run out of people. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14, I think, makes it pretty clear. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Ours is to be a witness and to make disciples. How can they hear about Christ unless we tell them about him? And when we tell them about him, then they are given a chance to believe in him. And if they believe in him, then they can call on him. And if they call on him, they will be saved. Why? Because most people who call on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. That's right, everyone. If you are a believer in Jesus, if you have bent the knee and called on Jesus, asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, to wash you clean, to come into your life, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, hear me. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the indwelling Spirit of Christ living inside of you. The Holy Spirit, okay? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. How awesome is that? How amazing is that? So Jesus assumes that all of us who have the Holy Spirit, we are his witnesses. Every one of us has been invited into the kingdom of God. This should be normal for us. This should be who we are. And if this is not happening, is it because we're distracted? Are we preoccupied into the things we shouldn't be preoccupied about? Are we investing too much time, energy, and voice into the nationalistic view? Are we just distracted with what the world is throwing at us? Maybe it's our sinful nature getting the better of us, and it's distracting us from being witnesses. Christ is reminding us that ours is to be a witness and to make disciples. With the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be witnesses to everyone. And when we witness to others with the power of the Holy Spirit, to all people of all ethnic groups everywhere, when that happens, then we are following Christ's command to make disciples of all nations. And when that happens, then we have the Great Commission and the great prediction, working hand in hand, side by side, for our good in God's glory, for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Bow your heads. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Father God, we thank you so much for the ministry of your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for sending him so we can get to know you better, to have a personal relationship with you, Father God, for giving us a way to have our sins forgiven, for having a way for the indwelling spirit of Christ to live in us, be witnesses to others for you. Your great commission is an honor and a joy and a privilege. And help us, Father God, not to take that lightly. With your head still bowed, I'd like to ask a question. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ to come into your life? Have you been hearing God quietly talking to you, saying, be filled with my spirit. Let's have a relationship together. If you have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and you want to call on him to save you today, I just ask that you raise your hand and I'll pray for you today. All eyes are closed. It's between you and God alone. One more question as our eyes are still closed. And then Pastor James will sing us a song and close us in prayer. Have you been distracted by the world? Whether it's being distracted by nationalism or whatever else the world seems to be throwing at us? Maybe it's your sinful nature that's getting the better of you and it's distracting you from being Christ's witness. If this is you and you'd like me to pray for you today, just raise your hand and I'll close in prayer. Hands over. I think you can put your hands down. Father God, you see right into the hearts. You see right into all of our hearts. You see right into all of our souls. Nothing is hidden from you. We are an open book left bare in front of you. Father God, you see the hearts and the souls of the people here today. We want you. We need you. We want to be in a relationship with you. We ask you to take care of the distractions in our lives, to help us be the right kind of witness to others, to help in being disciples for you. Help us, Father God, with the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.